Living Seed Media brings to you God's Word, which is His comprehensive equipment for changing lives. May the Lord impact your heart as you encounter His Word. For further inquiry or counsel, contact Peace House, P.O. Box 971, Boko, Benue State, Nigeria. Telephone numbers 0703-036-3659, 0703-768-1198. Email address lsmedia@livingseed.org or visit our website at www.livingseed.org. Let us sit back and listen as the servant of God brings forth the word of life.
Holy Father, we want to thank you for bringing us together this morning. We want to thank you for the prayers. We want to thank you for the songs. We want to thank you for the sharing that we have now. We ask, O Father God, that you cause us to understand the mysteries of your kingdom, even as we are gathered together before your presence. Speak to us, O God, even as you promised, that each and every one of us have come to meet with you on a personal ground. We ask, O Father God, that as we share your word this morning, you open our spiritual eyes, that we might behold wondrous things that you have prepared for us. Thank you, Holy Father, for hearing us. For in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. Turn with me quickly to the book of Isaiah chapter 1. We shall read verse 5 to 10 quickly. Isaiah chapter 1 verse 5 to 10. I read. Why should you be stricken any more? You will revoke more and more. The whole head is sick and the whole heart faint. From the sole of the foot, even unto the head, there is no soundness in it. The wounds and bruises and putrefying souls, they have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. Your country is desolate, your cities are burned with fire, your land, strangers devour it in your presence, and it is desolate, as overthrown by strangers. The daughter of Zion is left as a cottage in the vineyard, as a lodge in the garden of concubines, and as a besieged city. Except the Lord of hosts had left unto us a very small remnant, we should have been as Sodom, and we should have been like unto Gomorrah. Hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom. Give ear unto the law of the Lord our God, ye people of Gomorrah. Praise the Lord. Shall we turn to the book of chapter 6 quickly? 9. I read. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims, and each had 6 wings. With one he covered his face, and with one he covered his feet, and with one he did fly. And one cried unto another, and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is filled of his glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Who is me? For I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of the people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongue from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth, and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thy iniquity is taken away, and thy sins purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Who shall I send? And who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. And he said, Go, and tell these people, Hear ye indeed, they understand not. And see ye indeed, they perceive not. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
We are reading about the life of Uzziah. Uzziah came to the scene in Israel, and by the time that Uzziah came on the scene, there were kings that were ruling the kingdom of Israel, and they were dying and going while Uzziah was still preaching. But by the time that Uzziah came on the seat, we saw that Uzziah met a king called Uzziah. This Uzziah was sitting on the king, was sitting on the throne. And when Uzziah came on the scene, he saw the king, that the king was not living right. And he also saw his subjects, that they were also not living right. Anytime that there was a king in Israel, and he was a God-fearing person, all the people of Israel would turn and seek God and worship God. But anytime that they have a very bad king, the king will lead them to worship other gods. And at this time that we are reading, the king was not fearing God, and all the people of Israel were not also fearing God. And when Uzziah came on the scene, he saw the king, and he saw his subjects. And he compared himself with them. And then he said, The head is sick, and the whole body is also sick. And Uzziah saw that they were not living right, and Uzziah challenged them, and he was bold enough to see that the king and all the people of Israel at this particular time, that they were not living right, and he called them the people of Sodom. He compared them to the people of Sodom, and he compared them to the people of Gomorrah. And he was bold enough to address them, You men of Sodom, and you men of Gomorrah, listen to you to what the Lord is saying. Praise the Lord. That's what Uzziah said. He compared himself with the king and the people of Israel, and he saw that he was far better than the king and his subjects. But as he went on to preach, he had only one message. He said, Woe unto you! God is going to do this to you. You are going to be destroyed. Woo! Woo! Was the message that Uzziah was preaching. Until we came to chapter 6, and the Bible says, In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon the throne, high and lifted up, and his strength filled the temple. Praise the Lord. We will see that there was one thing that hindered Uzziah from meeting with God personally, and that was the king. As long as Uzziah was comparing his Christianity with the king and his subjects, he saw that he was far better than them, and he saw that they were not better than the people of Sodom and Gomorrah. In other ways, Uzziah was saying, Lord, destroy these people, for they are no better than the people of Sodom, they are no better than the people of Gomorrah. And Uzziah saw that he was far better than them until the king died. And when the king died, and Uzziah could no more see the king, then he lifted his eyes away from the king and his subjects, and he looked unto God. And the Bible says that when he looked above, he saw God and the holy angels around God. And the Bible said the seraphims had six wings. With two they covered themselves. With two they covered their face. With two they covered their legs. And with two they were flying and singing one chorus, saying, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. These are very beautiful creatures. But they did one thing. They covered themselves that they will not be seen. They covered their faces that they will not be seen. They covered their legs that nobody will see them. They were not looking at their beauty, but They were not looking at their holiness, but they were looking at only one thing. They were looking at the holiness of the Lord. And as they went on singing, the Bible says, Uzziah saw them singing. And as they were singing and worshiping and praising God for his holiness, then Uzziah had this to say. He said, Then said I, Who is me For I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of the people of unclean lips. My eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Brethren, the Lord has been speaking times and over that he has gathered us together that we might meet personally with him. Isaiah made this mistake of looking under the king and the people of Israel and comparing himself with them, and he would not see the holiness of the Lord. But when Isaiah had an opportunity to look unto God and see and saw the glory of the Lord and the holiness of the Lord, then Isaiah sent a message to himself, and Isaiah said, "Who is me? For I'm a man of unclean lips, and I also dwell in the midst of the people of unclean lips." In other words, Isaiah was saying, I am no better than the people I was condemning. I am no better than the people I was saying they were the people of Sodom and Gomorrah. Isaiah was saying, "Who is also me? For I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of the people of unclean lips." And when he confessed, the Bible says, God sent an angel, took a live coal, touched his mouth and said, "Now that this live coal has touched your mouth, you are cleansed." And the Lord was still saying, "Who shall go for us? Whom shall we send?" And this time around again, as I said, "Lord, here I am. Send me." Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Today we are saying, brethren, as the Lord was speaking even yesterday, and as the man of God was trying to make us understand that if we are not careful, we will miss out on God. That when the other verses will be speaking, we will say the reading has not started. We will be looking at personalities, we will be looking at something that will hinder us from God ministering to us. God is speaking and is saying that he is coming to meet with us personally. It might be through prayers. The Lord will speak something to your heart. The Lord will speak something to your ear that will change your life and your ministry. It could be in the message, that as the message will be going on, the Lord will speak some definite things to your life that will be a turning point in your life, and your life will change for the better, and your life will change for the whole of your life. God will change you and make great use of you. But we have to be careful that nobody will block our visions. Praise the Lord. That nobody will hinder us from seeing God or listening to God or hearing what God has for us. We have to check our spirits from time to time as we are warned that even in our houses, while we're having our quiet time, the Lord might decide to meet with us there. As we saw a brother yesterday who came to pray, the Lord came down to meet with him, only that he was having a hole in his life. Otherwise, the Lord would have filled him yesterday. That was his time. The Lord might not do it together. The Lord might not do it as we are sitting here together. The Lord might touch us individually at his convenience. He will touch us individually as we are going on with the meeting. But I want us to note that God will want us never to compare Christianity or ourselves with other people. The moment you start comparing yourself with other people, you are making a great mistake. You are making the greatest mistake of your life. As I made that mistake, and for so long a time, he will not see his faults. And he went on preaching. He went on ministering. Yet, without power. Until the time he realized that he was not also living right. Then he had to confess and say, "Lord, I'm also a man of unclean lips. And I also dwell in the midst of the people of unclean lips." And when he confessed, the Lord purged him. The Lord cleansed him. When a man will not realize that he's not living right, it will be very difficult for God to touch such a life. Until you humble yourself and you look inward at your life and allow the Holy Ghost to set your life and bring to your memory the things that are bad in your life, and you'll be prepared to trash them out with the Lord by saying, "Lord, this, I'm going to remove it out of my life. I will not touch it again." As you begin to remove these things and confess them to the Lord, only then will the Lord purge you and cleanse you, and only then will you be meet as a vessel that God is going to fill and anoint and use. Praise the Lord. So today, two things I want us to take home. One, never you compare yourself with other people. Men are not our standard. The Word of God is our standard. God is our standard. The moment you start comparing yourself with other Christians, you will always find that you are far better than them. But the moment you will compare your holiness with God, you will see that you are still lacking some things in your life that needs to be put right. And again, you have to know the things the Lord will be speaking to you as an individual. You have to note, Isaiah saw that he was not living right. And he was not quiet about it. He confessed it to the Lord. And the moment that confession went out, the Lord found a way to treat the case of Isaiah. And he anointed him again the second time and said, "Who shall go for us?" Was he not preaching for God? He was preaching for God. Yet the Lord was still looking for somebody who would go for him. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Shall we pray?
Let's go ahead and pray. We are praying. God has spoken something to us. We have said that in this meeting, God can speak at any time through anybody in any way. We are here to meet God. We are not here to meet men. There are a few things God has said very seriously this morning that we cannot afford to take for granted. I want you to continue to pray yet. Continue to pray. Who is the Uzziah of your life that you are using to compare yourself? Who is the Uzziah of your life that you are using to measure your life? That you have lifted your eyes so high that you cannot see inside yourself. God has spoken this morning, and it is a serious matter that some of us are still here. We have been preaching and we are willing to preach. We want to preach. You are just wanting an opportunity to go and preach. But who sent you? There are many people who are preaching already, but God is still looking for somebody to send. Can't you see the irony of the matter? Can't you see the irony of this matter? That here and there, men are talking, shouting, preaching. God is still looking for somebody to send. Every day you see people with demons. You have specialized yourself as a demon caster. Who is the Uzziah that you are using to measure yourself like that? Some of you are analyzing, you are saying, "Yes, I like this ministry, I like that one. This one is like this, that one is like this." Let them give me opportunity to say something. I ask you, who is that Uzziah that has become your standard? That has made you not to see yourself? God is still looking for somebody to send, though. God is still looking for men to send. This morning, we must pray. There is need for God to break our heart. There is need for the Holy Spirit to touch us again. There is need. Bow your heart and pray. As soon as you are lifting up your head and looking at men, comparing yourself with them, you can't have anything from God, though. You can't have anything from God, though. Is that Uzziah? Are you taking your standard from men? From contemporary Christianity? Do you think because the popular men are preaching the way they are preaching, that is the standard? Do you think because everybody is doing it that way, everybody is making big name for themselves, everybody is talking here and there, is that the standard? Is that why you cannot see yourself? Begin to pray. Let us pray. Let us identify our Uzziahs. Identify Uzziahs. The one that will not allow you to see your correct self. Oh, Lord Jesus. With all their wings, they did not go with open eye. They covered their own glory. And there's only one glory they saw, the glory of the Lord. Angels did that, who have never committed sin all their life. But what is your own pattern of life? Don't you go before God to display your own man-made glory? You go about telling exploits you say you have done. You go about talking big about yourself. You go about say, I lay my hands on the other day and they receive Holy Ghost. I lay my hands the other day, he was healed. I lay my this, it is my. Angels covered their own eyes and they sang only one song. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. Until you are willing to cover yourself, your self-made glory, your self-made identities. You talk too much about yourself, even before God. You talk too much about yourself before men, we won't blame you. But you are talking so much about yourself, even before God. Say, my ministry, my calling, my vision, my program, my this, my that. Even before God, you can still say it. Brother, sister, even before God, your mouth is still so bold. You still talk about yourself, myself. When angels never talk about themselves. Angels never announce their own names. Men of old never spoke about themselves. But you imprint your own name. You talk around, you speak around. You say, yes, when I gave that message, when I preached that sermon, when I lay my hands like this, when I do like that, when I minister to that sister, when I minister to that brother, you still say that before God. You don't fear. You are not afraid. Let us pray. God is here. Something must happen here today. Something has to happen upon our lives today. God is here. Men must keep silent. All man things must keep silent. If God will do what he say he will do. If God will do what he say he will do. If God will send you out. Something has to change today. Something has to go today. You talk about your revelation, my vision, my prophecy, my message, my this, my that, my program, my house, my car, my wife. Even before God, you are still talking my. You are not afraid. You don't fear God. Angels cover their eyes in order to see the glory of the Lord. Yay! Remosa kara mashamba baba suria. Le rubos kalima manda kara mase kereboshila. Men will go and enter into business for themselves. people have gone to pick up jobs for themselves, not for the Lord. They talk about my contract, my program, my house, my business, my this, my this, my this, my that. And God is still sitting. He said, who will go for us? Who will go for our own purpose? Who will go no more for himself, but for us? This little matter that God has put before us, I now can see why God is asking us to sing that song. I now can see that God has just removed the lid over what is the basic problem of our lives. Let me read to you some of the messages that God sent this morning, and you'll be surprised why God has come around again and said what he has said. Decision and the price you are willing to pay. As many as are willing shall be perfected, but there shall not be a looking back. That is a message that came this morning. And God says he is still waiting that men should take time to think, and along with that, another message came. Thus says the Lord, because I have delayed, men have wearied of waiting for me. Yes, they are weary. They are asking, when will he come? The sun is up. His time, his time of arrival is past. The project must be commissioned today, when the master is still waiting. People are already tired. They are tired of waiting. They are weary already. And they are saying, that project must be commissioned today. We must go on, whether God is around or not. Do you know that that was the only thing that Saul did, Saul, the son of Kish, that finished his anointing? To wait for the Lord. He said, oh, everybody is scattered from me. Let me do something. And if he fails to show up at sundown, what shall we say to the people? Our dresses are no more clean any longer. Can you see the emphasis? They are dressing to impress the people. They want to have their personal glory. And because the master had delayed, they want to cover up. They said, we must commission that thing today. So the supervisors have gone to change their clothes. Then I will come suddenly and commission the project. Then I will choose fresh and new, mostly unknown men and women to supervise my project. The former supervisors are out of their chambers now, variously paired. Look at the men with wives other than their own. The women too have abandoned their own husbands and are differently paired now. Although they are well dressed now, the occasion is past. New men have been appointed to the job. I will be making comment on the later part of this message when the time is right. So don't worry yourself about that. It's not yet time for that yet. The time God is talking to us is that he is sitting down to cross-check. There's a message here that I thought I wouldn't need to read, but I'll read it again. It doesn't look like a message. It looks like a sharing, but there are some things God has said that I want you to listen to. Dwelling in my presence means quietness, patience, and not in haste to anything. Be ready not to be in haste if you want to be in my presence. I am not hastening, neither will any man hasten me to my work. Trust God and commit all your ways to the Lord as you wait patiently on him to bring it all to pass at his own fulfillment of time. Don't be hasty to anything if you want to be in my presence.
For an unquiet man, a hasty man, and a man of impatience cannot walk with me and bring out a perfected work, for I am perfect. And it takes a man of perfection with the help of patience to work a work for me. For my ways are long, yet shorting in quietness and patience. So be ready to put off the garment of hastiness and be clothed with the garment of quietness. Waiting on God, as He leads all to perfection at the appropriate time. Thus says the Spirit of the living God, who is now in His full manifestation, I missed you, for a perfected instrument for my work. Praise the Lord. Tell my people, unless they humble themselves, I will not touch them. I say again, I will fulfill my promises I promised you for this meeting. But only the humble, and they are the ones that will carry out the work after I have prepared them as my own army. This is my word. I fear to prepare some, because some shall do what I have not commanded them to do. But to them that diligently seek me, they shall see me again, says the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, the message that God has sent to us this morning is very simple and clear. And we just want to press on, because we are going to pray. Some weeks before this meeting, I was praying and I was asking God that, God, if you are asking us to call an assembly, not unto ourselves but unto you, you must have to be present in that meeting. I was praying, I said, Lord, the highest thing that we need in this meeting is not food, is not men, but your very self. That you might manifest yourself to people, to men. Because only when men see you, something will change in their lives. And as I kept praying, the Lord asked me a question which I have not been able to answer properly up to today. He said, so what do you expect when I come? The question was very difficult for me, because I don't know whether something, the devil, or I don't understand. But I would have normally want to say, God, anything you want, do when you come. But God was asking me, what do you expect when I come? It took me a long time. I prayed about it. I didn't know. Even yesterday, I was still in this kind of situation. I want to find out, Lord, what is the answer to this question? He gave me alternatives. Do you want people to fall down so that the whole place will be charged and people will physically see that something has happened and that the anointing has come? And I thought very deeply in my heart, say, God, but even myself, I have fallen down many times under the so-called anointing and nothing has happened to me. I said, God, so I am not expecting, if people fall down, that's not our concern. They can fall down if they want. But is there no other way when you come that something happened to people? Ask me another alternative. Do you want them to be excited so that some momentary miracles will happen, so that the fame of this meeting will go everywhere? People will say, Kai, when we were in that meeting, this happened, that happened, that happened, that happened. That looks tempting. And I was still praying. I said, God, if it were for people to have their temporary needs met, as I know that people are here who maybe felt that by coming here, we will begin to drive out their demons. Some might think that as they have come here, there's going to be a healing line and we're going to begin to lay hands. Of course, if that is what we have desired, God will do it. He seemed to say, anything you want for my with my presence, just get it. Then I became again very constrained in my heart and confused. Should we ask for these temporary miracles that happen here and there that make every place joyous and noisy so that everybody will say, oh, glory to God, I was touched, I was blessed, and that's all. But I thought to myself, just thought in my heart, say, God, we can always have that. We can always organize an evangelical meeting where our focus will be to get men healed from their disease and let them go home with testimonies. But I felt, Lord, that if you are able to break forth upon lives, it might mean that for maybe 100 miracles that will have happened here, you may have raised 100 miracle workers whom we cannot predict how many miracles they will begin to perform in their lives as they go with you. So I felt that, well, since the time of God's action is never long, that even if God decides to do something now, do you know that if God breaks forth, that's how it came to my heart, that if God should break forth in this town or in this state, 3 months is too long for everybody to be brought on their knees. 3 months is too long. In fact, this morning I woke up with such a body. I felt that when revival came to Wales and the whole of the land were brought on their knees through very young people, 16, 18, 19, boys that are working in the coal mines, uneducated boys, it did not take 6 months when the revival started that court cases were no more in court, so judges and lawyers have no more job to do. And some of us think it's not possible. It is. Lawyers had no job to do again because the courtrooms were closed. People willingly went to their neighbors where they stole and say, 10 years ago I did this to you. I'm willing to restore it. And in less than 16 months that revival started, the whole legislature, that is the government, was touched. Political campaigns stopped. Nobody had time for campaign. Political activities, nobody is interested. People are interested in revival. And I thought to myself that if God would do what he wants to do in this meeting and get the right kind of battle axe to send out, maybe what we have been laboring to do and spending hours and hours and hours and years and months and, you know, starting this ministry, starting that group, doing this, doing that, maybe it will have been done in few months. I considered also in my heart John the Baptist, Do you know that before John the Baptist was born, there were about 400 years of absolute darkness in the land? No message, no synagogue, nothing. There were just very few fellowships, people that speak to themselves, praying and interceding. Finish. And you can count them. Who are them? Simeon and Anna. They were the people that the Bible recorded were praying. Can you imagine a situation when there will be no fellowship in Nigeria for 6 months? No gathering of any kind, everything, all preachers are dead, nothing. Can you imagine what it will look? It happened like that for 400 years. Some of us, we backslide because when you pass out of school and for 3 months you are on holiday in your village, there is no strong fellowship, you backslide. You come back, you say, look, I wouldn't have backslidden, but there was no fellowship in the village where I was staying. That's all. If people backslide for 3 months of lack of strong fellowship, according to them, what do you think will have happened in 400 years? But do you know that when God got the right man, John the Baptist, and because God is leading us, we may now look at such people's lives very briefly. When God got the right man, John the Baptist, do you know how many months it took him? 6 months. He brought the whole of Judea, the whole of Israel, Idumea, all the nations, all the countries and towns around. He brought them on their knees. And everybody was running. He didn't have an auditorium. His auditorium was in the bush, in the wilderness. And people would trek out miles to go and meet the man. And you know, army captains, major generals of the time went and said, can we also be saved? They also lined up to be canceled. Now we do yeri around when a big man is converted. We go everywhere and say, oh, bro, what do we mean? When the glory has departed, we run around men. So at the end, I said, God, I wouldn't know exactly what your presence should do. But I'm just praying that you will have mercy on us. That if there is a way in which when you come, people are permanently touched and changed for years, that's what we desire. If you want to do it such that it is invisible, do it. If you want to do it such that we can see a foretaste, do it. But that's what we are asking you to do. And as we came here this morning, I saw several people praying. I saw brothers, I saw people of diverse kinds. And a burden welled up in my heart that God, here we are. Here are young people, educated among us, who have abandoned Christmas, and who said, Lord, make me something. Lord, won't you do it? And as we were doing that, as I was meditating and praying, somebody just handed over one of the messages I have read unto you. And God said, I will do what I say I will do, but the bridge has to be blown. And people have to sit down and think. So this meeting, I've gone all that because we are going now. God is already here and He's sitting. And He has made it a condition for progress. I reminded you that preachers are here. Preachers like Isaiah, who have got their ministries, they're established. Some have written books. But God is still sitting and asking, who will go for us? Who will go for us? Many times people used to think that God is talking about many, many laborers. But that's not the matter. Do you know that when God raised men in those days, and they had the right dealing with God, they did what thousands of ministers could not do. They did it in 1 month. Because they are going for God. And so God is still sitting down. And so we are going back now to consider matters. Whatever we are analyzing here now is not a talk. We are just speaking with ourselves. We are just meditating openly together. If it were possible to break this meeting into 2, 2, 2, 2, I would have said, take one person, go and sit together and begin to question yourselves before God. Until what happened to Isaiah happened to you. Because when that thing that happened to Isaiah, as God brought that message to us this morning, when it happened, Isaiah became a different man. The messages that Isaiah began to say, to speak from that chapter forward, they were eternal messages. You know, messages of the head is sick, the foot is rotting. Even then, those things he said were good. They were correct. They were inspired. Don't misquote what God has taught us today. People are sick. That's correct. People are committing sin. That's correct. But with all your shouting, have you been able to change them? Is God just sending out critiques? Some of you specialize in criticizing. You think a big message, you know, somebody wrote a book and gave me very galley to read. I look at it and I was sad. What made me sad? It was just an analysis and criticism of what is going on. And at the end I say, so what is the solution? And he wants to gain cheap popularity by majoring on our weaknesses. People are tired of the system they are in, we know. And you can easily become popular if you are pointing out the fault which nobody has been able to tell them. They say, yes, this man is telling us the right thing. After telling them their problem, where is the solution? Isaiah preached, but nobody changed. Isaiah preached, well, in the days that Isaiah was preaching, comparing, he says, doing this, he said, woe to you this, woe to this, woe to that. He gave many messages, but nothing happened. Because the basis of revival he had not seen. And God is still sitting down. God is not in haste. And that's what God has said this morning. Strange enough. That he is still sitting down, giving people time to make up their mind. So we want to go on. We want to go on. We want to pray. But before we pray, we go back to that our song. And as we go back to that song, God has told us very strongly this morning, very early in the morning, he said, everybody must be in the meeting. And that's the song we are going to sing. God has said that. I didn't know how it was going to come up, but God has brought it now. When the Lord was speaking to us through our brother, the Lord made a very strong point that angels, glorious angels, heavenly beings, whose glory is so mighty and wonderful, they had wings to cover their faces, and they don't talk about themselves. They don't talk about themselves. They were only singing, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. If they had said, holiest, 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 what would that have meant? That we also are holy, you are only You only have an edge over us. You are holy, we are also holy. You are only holier. And that's the way some of us describe God. Say, God, you are holiest, so that you can have a place. You talk too much about yourself. Say, my revelation, the way the Lord has been speaking to me, the way the Lord has been moving me from place to place nowadays to preach and to minister. Can you see that? To minister. If a sister just wanted you to agree with her in prayer, what do you say? Say, I am ministering to her. See arrogance. They say, holy. When they say holy, it means no one else is holy. Angels themselves acknowledge that we are not holy when God is there. If you read men that have acknowledged God properly, they say, thou art the only wise God. When they say somebody is the only wise, what have they concluded about every other person? All foolish. But some of us, we prefer to say, thou art wiser, thou art wiser, O God, to receive glory, honor, and power, thou art wiser. Why? And this matter look as if it's so small to us. There was this Pharisee that Jesus talked about in Luke 18. I don't want us to read it because we are singing. He said, two men went to the temple to pray. One a Pharisee, the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. He prayed with himself. He prayed to himself. He illustrated every point with himself. And what was what he said? The Pharisee stood. He stood up. And he began to say, God, I thank thee. I thank thee. You would have wanted to ask, who is I? Say, I thank thee. And strange enough, there is this kind of arrogance even in this congregation. Say, I thank you, Lord. I exalt you, Lord. I just thank you for the way that you have been dealing with me. They pray with themselves. You have allowed the little things that the anointing of the Holy Spirit perchance made available that you saw. You have allowed that to fill yourself. Even as we are praying, some are just nodding their head. Just nodding their head. And I say, yes, I like this meeting. I like this meeting. Who is that I? What is it all about you that you are really talking? Ah. And God was seeming to ask, who is the I that is speaking? He went on quickly and said, I thank thee that I am not as other men are. I am not as other men. They are extortioners, unjust, adulterers, even as this, oh, I feel like weeping for them. Oh, the sin of this country is great. Come and see the sin of this country. The sin of this country is great. But I thank you. I want you to check your life. I want you to check. God is leading us because He sent us a message. He said, men should sit down and consider this matter. That we should bring out the Uzziah. And identify the Uzziahs that will not allow a breakthrough in our life. Say, I am not as other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, even as this publican. Lord, every time I go to the office, when I see the undersecretary, when I see the messenger, when I see what they are doing, oh, I feel sick. Lord, you know I feel sick. I tell you, I feel sick. If you are saying that before men, maybe we will say, okay. Because of the great anointing of God on your life. But that you are so bold that even before God, you still talk, I. When God say, I am that I am, no one else is qualified to be I. And as I went to the meeting, the Lord just spoke to me, said, speak to them. And I gave it to them. Is that not your testimony? Is that not how you speak? Watch your language. Your language is an expression of your heart. For the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. Adjust your desires, your fasting life. Yesterday when God is purging us, some of you just say, well, what am I going to repent about? Just to say, Lord, I know there's nothing except that in within this 1 week, my prayer life dropped from 3 hours to 2 hours. If that is the sin, Lord, I'm sorry about it. That was what you did yesterday, you know. Because you have set Uzziahs and you compare yourself with yourself. And you never bow down and borrow a wing to cover your eyes that God might show you the only God. And the Bible said, I tell you, this man went away sorrowful. For everyone that exalted himself shall be abased. He that humbles himself shall be exalted. This morning, because this is not a talk, if it were a talk, we'll be going to Bible, check what is I, what is this. No, God is here, sitting down, sitting where you can see Him. And He's asking you these questions. So we want to go through that song now, before we sing it. So that if you want to sing it, you know exactly what you are singing about it. Not I, but Christ. Be honored, loved. Let's stop there. I want you to look at that first line properly. Do you mean that statement? Do you mean that it is not you that wants to be honored? When you pray for somebody, what do you want result? And why are you offended when there was no result? Why did you say, I will rather not pray than to pray and have no result? Why? Did you get offended because somebody looked at you differently? There are pastors and fellowship leaders and Sunday school teachers and whatever. Why do you want increase in your church number? Why do you want a revival when you are the FCS president? Here you are in the ESCO. Why didn't you have that kind of desire last year? Is it really Christ that you want to be honored, or I? I want you to check it. And in a process of soul searching, God, that's all God said we should do now. I don't want anybody to be walking around. Please, I'm sure that those that are sitting on benches, if you move closer, that brother that is standing should be able to see. Why do you feel bad when you failed the exam the last time? Is it so much of the exam you failed, or so much of what people will be saying about you? Do you mean that not I but Christ be honored? Do you mean that not I but Christ be loved? You know what it means to be loved? Eh? What does it mean to be loved? To be given attention. Eh? To be appreciated. To be cared for. Why do you so much demand care? Why do you so much want to be accepted? Why do you so much want to be appreciated? Beginning right from your house as a husband. Why do you so much shout? Because when you came, your wife is busy doing something, so she couldn't come out to greet you and say, welcome, honey. Why did you have that feeling of indignation in your heart that she doesn't even recognize that somebody is around? Do you really desire that it's not I, but Christ that should be honored, that should be loved? that should be welcome. We spoke about Doeg yesterday night. Doeg, who was only detained before the Lord for some period. And while he was detained before the Lord, he was trying to conform. He was gentle. He didn't fight. He didn't misbehave. As it is in this camp for some Doegs. Since you came to this camp, you have been gentle. You don't know. You didn't even care whether somebody fetched water for you or not. But when you go to your normal abode, why make so much noise to your wife because she didn't put hot water in the bath? Are you willing that this money, it can be said, not I, but Christ, be honored, be loved, be exalted? Very, that's why you see, let me read that message to you again. Oh. The Lord is speaking to his people. I still give you time to think about this matter, for I shall wait for you. You see why we are here now? So I still give you time. I will wait for you by the bridge. And I definitely know if this bridge, you see, a message God gave us, which I read to you earlier, that came about 4 weeks ago. He said there is a gulf between the natural and the heavenly. And that gulf is what makes us weak. And I've tried to understand, Lord, what is this gulf? About few weeks after, I went to Jos and was preaching, and I suddenly discovered that maybe what makes men weak is the flesh. And that wherever the flesh or self is not dealt with, whatever you are seeing happening is a camouflage. It will not last. If you allow it, it will choke up the spiritual. That Cain was always seeking to kill Abel. Esau was always seeking to kill Jacob. Ishmael was always seeking to choke up Isaac. And God's recipe for the real thing to manifest is that it should be cut off. God say, I shall wait for you by the bridge. You no longer want to be honored. That from today, you want to be a dunghill where everybody stamp upon. If that will bring the anointing on your life. Don't rush. God say, I'm waiting by the bridge. What a serious place to go and wait. By the bridge where there is no turning left or turning right. If anybody ventures to circumvent the bridge, the next place to enter is water. That's where God says he's waiting. He's waiting for you there, he's waiting for me. Are you willing that it should no longer be you to be honored, to be loved, even by your wife, even by your husband, even by your children? We are all detained here. I pray it's not like Doeg. When some husbands have allowed their wives to do many things for Jesus within this camp. And some of you didn't eat because your wife was not even allowed to get food. Will you be willing that it should continue like that as long as the Lord will have need of her? That if the Lord will send her forth on an errand, you will as well go to the kitchen and look for food for yourself. Or you will stamp your feet on the ground and say, me first. You should recognize that you are married. I am the head of this house. I am the head of this house. God even say, I am the head. I am the head. He said, but you see, the spirit is saying, no. Make my own first. That's why I married you. Are you willing to vacate that room this afternoon? God say he's waiting for quality decision. And this is the bridge that separates between the natural and the spiritual. Line 2. Can we read line 2 together? Not I, but Christ. Be seen, be known, be heard. Consider the implication. Even to go and comfort people, the way you are moving around people to show them that you really care for them, is it crying or so that they can know that you care? The money you give for the work of the ministry, we ask you, is it Christ or so that the brother can know that you are a supporter of his ministry, that you care? Why did you give? Is it so that the brother will not feel bad that you didn't support him? And you don't want him to feel bad about you? We want you to check, because all this, the matter is sitting by the bridge. The gospel need a lot of money to carry it on, but not any kind of money. If we have received money from your hand and it is wrong, we just pray that God should forgive us and give us a clear understanding. That God may raise the standard that when such things is coming, that God should help the preachers, the ministers, and whosoever is in charge to say, please go away with that one. Are you wanting to say, not I, but Christ, even to soothe in sorrow? Even to wipe the falling tear? Let it not be me. They say, yes, that sister is here and there. Is always good and kind. Last time when my husband died, she slept with me for 1 week. Is it Christ? Or even in that, you want to make a name? When you cook and you share around, is it Christ? Or you are pouring cold water in front so that next time you can step on a wet land? Verse 3. After verse 3 and verse 4, we will now sing the song. As we are singing the song, whatever the Lord teaches you to do, and that to pray, and that to open up your life, is waiting by the bridge. And if now the Spirit is moving you to kneel down quietly and begin to speak to God, please go ahead if you have met him. Not I,
but Christ, in lowly, silent labor. We first of all want to analyze that a lowly labor. Do you understand the meaning of that? A labor that is lowly, not the elevated labor. Many a labor that God can give you to do. Labor that are not noisy, silent. Silent labor. Labor. It is real labor, yet it is silent. Nobody even knows that there's such a labor going. Are you willing to do that? Do you notice that in every church, in every meeting, people are eager to lead choruses? Eh? They are eager to follow up a soul after the crusade. Do you notice that? Why? The other one is exalted and noisy. The other one is lowly and silent. Nobody knew, because everybody will even have gone when you are asking somebody to give his life to Christ. And because there's a lot of want in this department of labor, which is very crucial to Jesus, we waste money, we waste time to organize crusades that will not yield no fruit. It won't yield anything. Because where are the men that are willing to do the lowly and the silent labor? Where are the men that are willing to go and begin to trace men and receive insults from their husbands? Where are the men that are willing to preach house to house who do not prefer a pulpit ministry? And so when we were talking about developing ministry yesterday, you know, I went around and I just was praying my heart that God should help us to get the real concept of ministry, of service. And I still see some of us saying, yes, as a minister, and I notice that tonation is wrong. As a minister, is not minister of commerce and industries. The word minister in the Bible means a slave. As a slave. I think we should stop using such things. If the word has polluted the meaning and we can't get it proper. So can we read line 1 of verse 3? Not I, but Christ, in lowly, silent labor. See, young men, if they want to pray, if God has told them to pray, instead of pray, they will call prayer conference. And what do they do in prayer conference? They will announce the name of the preachers, about 20, to come and preach in 4 days, prayer conference. People will be holding prayer and yet they will be videotaping prayer. Can we still say that is prayer to God? They say, yes, we are going to use it on outreaches. I want you to know something today. That if you look into statistics, and if God were to tell you, souls that are saved by the use of film, video, they are intangible compared with men that are brought to the kingdom by the solid conviction of the Word of God and the Holy Ghost. That is God's method. Film, they are our own methods. We are helping God. When revival comes, nobody needs to see film. Conviction will hook their heart and they will tremble. He said, yeah, you know, we are using for outreach. Please, don't misquote me. Why the real revival has not come? We can manage with those things we are carrying on. Irrigation processes. But I prefer that if there's a way to be promoted, I'll drop all these weapons for God to give me something else. If at the end of this meeting you couldn't cross this bridge significantly, you must have to go back. You don't have to backslide completely from Jesus Christ. Go and carry all these irrigation cans and go around and wait yet for another time when the master will meet you by the bridge. Do you understand what we are saying? But before I leave that line, some persons may now say, yes, we are not among the arrogant ones that just want to preach. My own ministry is the closest. Now I ask you, is it still Christ in that closest silent labor or I? Some say, well, let them preach. I would rather be in the control room. Now all they are doing, we are the chief controller of it. We control it on our knees. That's when you are hearing men talking about prayer band. Is it still Christ or I? Mr. I is a terrible man. Anything you give him, he can twist it. Even in silent, lowly labor. Is it the Christ or I? Line 2. Together. Not I, but Christ. In humble, earnest toil. Humble toil. What is toil? Please, what's the difference between toil and toil? T-O-Y-T-O-I-L. You know the two words look alike. What's the difference between toil and toil? Eh? The other one is play. A camouflage. A prototype. The other one is work, sweat, toil. There are many people that are looking busy in the kingdom of God, walking up and down, but they are toying with the things of God. Are you a preacher? Are you not toying with people's lives? Are you not telling them what has never even worked in your own life? Are you not raising people's hope? You say that is faith. That is toying with people's destiny. Look at the kind of camouflage you put together. When you want to raise money for yourself, then you go and invite big men, big time preachers, big time brethren, and then you announce and advertise them. You tell them, come and preach. You know, the Lord really says you should come to Macedonia. But is that your intention? Is it not to raise offering every day? Because you know that man will pull crowd. You have made your calculations properly. You are doing business. You are doing business with God. You are doing business with God's people. And you are not afraid. You are toying with eternity. So many of you have made yourself self-made preachers, self-made presidents and founders. That's, we are not criticizing that. But I ask you, is it Christ? Is it Christ? Since you say you are preaching, show me one single soul that you are the one that brought to the kingdom. Or all that are under you, are they not did they not migrate? You know where sinners are. You will not go there. And you say you are laboring. You are toying. You are toying with God's people. You are toying with the apples of God's eyes. When judgment comes, you will regret. We ask you, is it a toil or a toy? See, when you want to pray and pray for people, are you really sincere that something should happen in their lives? Or you want them to fall down under your hand so that people will say anointing is with you? You are toying with people's lives. See all manner of things you tell them. You say, brother, prepare yourself because anointing will come and you will fall. When you are psychologically, you know, derailed their head, they are confused. How can you line up people? This sister fell down, that sister fell down, that sister fell down. And you have preached that falling down is something wonderful. Don't you think the other one that will not fall down will feel guilty that something is wrong with me? I also must fall down. You are toying with people's life. God is not going to hold you irresponsible. Jesus is sitting by the bridge. Look, we are not here comparing ourselves with Uzziah. We want to see Jesus, the author, the pattern, the finisher of our faith, of whatever service we want to do to God. Jesus is God's pattern servant, and we want to study him. Before the proclamation of what you say, have you received that specifically from God for that man? Or you look at the sign and you say, does your husband always come home every time? And the sister say, that's the problem. He said, in fact, the Lord told me. What kind of prophet is that? Not I, but Christ in humble earnest. What's the meaning of earnest? Sincere toil. Who is willing to toil? To labor, to work hard, sincerely in the kingdom of God. Who among you is willing to lay down your comfort for a soul to be established in the kingdom of God? Jesus is sitting by the bridge. When it comes to altar calls, because you will feel ashamed that people didn't stand up when you preach. See the kind of altar calls you give. Those of you that want to be blessed, let me see your hand up. Who doesn't want to be blessed? And because the Lord is here wanting to raise battle axe, he's asking, sitting, he said, answer this question. Do you want to say, not I, but Christ, in humble, earnest toil? I want to toil. I want to labor. I want to spend hours of my life to instruct souls until they are better instructed in the things of God. I want to spend days of my life in toiling, earnest toil. God is asking that question. God is asking that question. The third line, can we go on? Christ, only Christ. No show, no ostentation. What is show? What is show? Display. No show. Even after we have earnestly toiled and even there are results, no show. No show. Are you willing? Are you willing for this? No show. No display, no exhibition. We are talking to men who say they have come to the Lord. Please, listen. Do not think that all that God is saying here is meant for somebody on the outside. We are not concerned about that. And if some of you are removing your mind and say, oh, yes. So this is the reason why people do this. That's wrong. That's not why we're here. We're only constrained to use those illustrations we have used to help you understand what Jesus is demanding from your life and from my life. No show. And have you not been showing off? When you pray, and you have prayed and your eyes have become red, and you have spent, you know, and you have had some tears, don't you want to show it? By coming out in that disfigured manner, and wearing the most terrible look, and you say, they say, bro, what is happening? Say, it's the burden of the Lord. It's the burden of the Lord. My heart is heavy, you know. It's the burden of the Lord. No show. Many of us, we want to preach, but our problem is, what can we show? Some say, brother, I don't know my ministry, I don't know my ministry. It's not true. What you are looking for is show. Did you stay under your pastor and you are visiting people house to house to preach to them and God is not showing you what to do? He said, they will not allow. Who controls people's houses? Have you seen any pastor controlling people's houses? Pastors can only control pulpit. They don't control houses. They don't control pews. But because they are looking for show, and there is no show in the pew, and because ministry is in the pew, ministry is among men. Ministry is not this one. This that we are doing here, preaching and standing here and there, is not ministry. It is the least that we could do. When we preach like this, you only scratch something on the surface, and everybody is only at alert if it came from God, waiting for you to come and properly feed them one by one. I know the implication of this meeting if we want to focus it. I know that at the end of this meeting, if God will help us, it is then we begin to have individual relationship with each of you that is here. It is then we will be willing to travel far and near to come and sit with you and say, how has the Lord been dealing with you? If we want to do it. It is then we have to write personal letters unto individuals and say, sister, brother, can you give us the report of your life? In which way has the Lord been dealing with you and helping you in your calling? That's the labor. This one is just like you just gather to just arouse people's heart. The real toil of this, even this solemn assembly, is yet to come. All the brethren that have been running around, God keeps telling us that this is not what I called you to do. I'm calling you to get ready for a toil after this. No show. No show. You have a beautiful voice to sing, and your song can drive away demons. Do you know that Brother David has an anointing to sing more than most of these choristers we have today? For many years of his life, where did he render a special number? To who? To one man, Mr. Saul. Are you willing to sing to a soul? Say, yeah, God has called me into the music ministry. Are you willing to sing to one soul? And these things look impossible. That's what men of old did. They sang to one soul. You are saying, Lord, you see, if you want that my music ministry to develop, give me a band, give me this, and then you go and rent uncoordinated people to come and be singing with you for show. Jesus is sitting by the bridge. You know why? There are going to be music ministers, anointed ministers, anointed servants who will lead us in songs and worship in this end time. But it's not like the one you are seeing yet. Sorry to say. You know you have been here for this meeting? Did we have worship or not? Was God here or not? Did we need a band? No show. No display, no exhibition. Are you willing for that? The master is sitting by the bridge. No ostentation. Who can give us the right meaning of ostentation, please? Eh? Eh? Luxury and pleasure. Pleasure. Flamboyant display, ostentation. Flamboyant display. When little things happening, little things, they go and decorate the whole place. Decorate the whole place. Everybody gorgeously dressed. Flamboyant. This is the nature of I. It is I that does that. It's not Jesus. When we come later in the seminar and God begins to lead us to talk about Jesus, then we will know who he is in scriptures. And if that's the man we are called to be fashioned after him, I don't see any theology that is correct when it is not making us to look like Jesus in every respect. no show, no ostentation, no flamboyant display. What happened when you want to give your testimony? Don't you make some flamboyance? And why do men give testimony? Is it not to impress or to raise offering or to intimidate people to pity? And people come around and say, brother, how is ministry? How is ministry? Expect me to start telling them, you know, there's no soup in the house. We're only thanking God. Oh, and they nod their head, they say, praise God. Brother, don't worry, it will be better. Even that one is a show. To show our poverty is also a show. It's a show. No show. Sometimes our show may not afford flamboyance, but it's a show. No show. If you are going to soak Gary because of the kingdom, no show. No ostentation. Christ, only Christ. No show. No ostentation. Is that going to be our prayer this afternoon? The last line, can we all read it? Christ, none but Christ, the gatherer of the spoil. After the work had been done, who gathers the spoil? Who has been gathering the spoil of your life? Is it Christ? Who takes the glory? Who takes the credit? Who takes the result? You have preached, souls have been saved. Who takes the spoil? These are things you will do if this bridge is not blown. When the last time you had opportunity just to give a sharing in your local fellowship, who gathered this power? Did you not come back and say, brother, fellowship yesterday was wonderful? Why? Because you preached. Last week it wasn't wonderful. People are eager. In the whole meeting, like this meeting now, it is a normal tendency that everyone that God is using either to lead the song or to give a seminar or to do something, they say, hi! The move came when I shared that thing. Who gathered this power? Watch people's mouth when they are speaking. When they are giving their testimony, watch it. When they are giving their annual report, watch it. Watch what their mouth is saying. They are gathering the spoil. So we met a chronic case. He had gone to the hospital 10 years and nothing has happened. And he had gone to many places, he had attended many meetings, many preachers had preached and they had prayed. He said nothing happened. But I just lay my hand. Why did you go on to analyze all the many people that have prayed, many, but who gathers this forward? And the matter is, I'm sitting by the bridge. Let us make a covenant before I take you further. That's what God is saying. That supposing I bring revival, who gathers the spoil. Some of you in your secular businesses, look at how you pray before God gave you that business. Now your business is prospering. You now have a good job. I ask you, who gathers the spoil? Are you now not developing a big stomach? Who gathers the spoil? See how you introduce yourself. See how you talk about yourself. And we say little about the Lord. Jesus said, I'm sitting by this bridge. I know you all want me to make you my battle axe. I don't want the one that will make blisters on my palm. Let me sit down first and analyze and count the cost. There is a personal interview going on for recruitment this afternoon. Unfortunately, some dwarves will go back to where they came from and they will have a testimony. They say, I was there when David collected the sword. You were in the same time, the same place. I was there. I was being detained that time before the Lord. That solemn assembly really detained me before the Lord. I was there with 35 days. But you won't get anything because arrogance will not allow you. If the Lord should appoint you Bible study secretary in your local fellowship or your local church or your local groups, who gathers the spoil? If you have a Sunday school class to teach, who gathers the spoil? That's the question of the master. If anointing should break, as we are expecting God to help us, and God should raise some of you fiery evangelists, that when you stand, the whole Makudi will just shake and the glory of God will come down. The master is sitting by the bridge. Say, supposing that happens, who gathers the spoil? Won't you immediately go to the press and look for flamboyant ostentation? Won't you quickly call a meeting and call a lawyer? Let's quickly register this ministry. No show, no ostentation. Most pictures we take of our meetings. Did you ever sit down when you are planning that picture? I know some of you are very eager, and I know the only time they will ask you to come and preach on the Thanksgiving service day of your church, you will organize a photographer to take you. You have done it before. Young men like it. And you'll be watching the camera. So when you lift up your hand like this, the man will just take it. Who gathers the spoil? You have some of those pictures in your album. Some of you, it is when you are laying hands on somebody, you want a photograph there. Who gathers the spoil? These are little things. Nobody talks about this. But the master is sitting by the bridge. He said we should discuss. I hear for an interview, so searching. Who gathers this power? We must give Jesus a firm answer before we continue today. Who gathers this power? And the last stanza says, Christ, only Christ. Before long, we feel my vision. Glory excelling, soon, full soon, I would see. Christ, only Christ. My every wish fulfilling. Christ,
only Christ, my all in all to be. We can't sing stanza 4 until stanzas 1, 2, and 3 have been properly answered. Because stanza 4 is just a conclusion after verse 1, 2, 3 have been properly handled. Christ cannot fill your vision when it's not only Him. You cannot see His glory excelling in your life and in your services when it's not Him. He cannot fulfill every wish of your heart. Some of us quote the Bible, say, the desire of the righteous, God will establish. Are you righteous? According to this scripture, are you righteous? Don't you hear Jesus say, no man is good, and it is you doing the job. Anytime when it is asked, I can never be righteous. But the day will come when every wish of our life Christ shall fulfill. And He, only Christ, will be our all in all. So we are going to take this song and get into prayer. We are taking all this time. You are taking your time to pray. You will kneel down on your own as we are reading that song and singing it. I'm not rushing you. If when we are singing, some people are able to sing stanza 1, some are singing stanza 2, depending on what the Holy Ghost is dealing with you, feel free to do that. At any point when you feel like crying and weeping and praying, do that. At any time when you are willing to surrender, surrender. At any point when you feel like laying down your life and say, God, I have missed it, do so. Do so. Martha is sitting by the bridge. It's a bridge. What did I say? It is a bridge. No other way. No other way. There's no other way. It's either Christ or nothing else. Any other thing you see before this time is a camouflage. It won't last. It will not last. Don't be surprised. It will be burnt in fire. We take that song. Feel free. Prayerfully. No moving around. We are all before Jesus, sitting by the bridge. We can't cross this bridge now. We'll continue later on. None I but Christ, me honor, love, exalt. Not I but Christ, be seen on the earth. Not I but Christ, in every look and action. Not I but Christ, in every thought and word. Oh, to be saved from my sad, dear love. Oh, to be lost in thee. Oh, that it may be no more I, but Christ that lives in me. Not I but Christ, to gently soothe in sorrow. Not I but Christ, to wipe the falling tear. Not I but Christ, to lift the weary body. Not I but Christ, to wash away all fear.
all to be saved from my sad, dear Lord. All to be lost in thee, all that it may be no more I but Christ that they is in me. Not I but Christ in lowly silent labor. Not I but Christ in humble earnest heart. Christ, only Christ, no show, no ostentation. Christ, none but Christ, the gatherer of the spoil. We go back to stanza one. You are free. You are free now to pray, to sing, anyhow. You are free to kneel down. You are free to come to the altar. You are free to do anything. You are free to lay flat. You are free. You are free to pray. You are free. But you are not free to walk around. I mean, you are not free to go outside the hall. You have to read it. I read part of it. Not everything is meant for us here. I've been standing at the doors of your hearts and knocking, my children. I have desired to share with you blessings abundantly. I have desired to move in the land through you. But you have all been too busy to hear me knocking. Some of you think you have opened for me already, but have not found any open door. You have opened for yourselves. Pride in doing my work, as you say. You are proud in your heart, even though you wear a false garment of humility, and you make a pretense of honoring me. How long, oh how long, will you keep me waiting, my children? This scripture, Revelation 3:20, is for you and not for the people you always apply it to. Remember, I shall not knock forever. Soon, and very soon, sooner than you think, it will be all over. You know why? We have read this. We have had a similar word from the Lord in the morning that it will soon be over. The time when God needs to be looking around for men will be over. He will appoint new men for his job, new supervisors for his project, and that will be okay. You can go and wear your beautiful garment. But you see, we have come to we are at bridgehead. This is bridgehead. If it is blown today, and you are not on the other side, it means you may never be able to cross over again. And if you accept to tell the Lord to surrender self to God, and it is blown, it means you will get drowned trying to go back to live for self. It means all projects that are self-motivated, even though they are ongoing now, they will have to collapse. It means ministries that you have started that are self-motivated and self-styled, it has to stop if the master should blow the bridge. It means a lot. But the Lord says, I still give you time to think about this matter, to weigh the consequences of your decision and the price you are willing to pay. But as many as are willing, I will give them the sword after the bridge shall be blown. We are still praying, but this time, listen. the brother that had a vision of the Lord Jesus yesterday. The Lord said, there's a hole. And he said, Lord, I will block it. And the master felt, if you think you can block it by yourself, it's okay, go and block it. And he walked away. The greatest mistake we will do, we will make again, is to think we can break self by self. We must look unto Jesus. We must look unto his grace. We must look unto his grace. We must pray for grace before we ask the master to blow it. The master is still waiting. It can't be done in the energy of the flesh. This day is very crucial. Since the master, the Lord Jesus, are taking it this way, I plead with you, let us turn to him for grace. We are going to turn, please, you are going to pray later. Can you just open your eyes and take your hymn book? That teaches me thy path for me to know, and grace day by day leads me on. My call not to let go. Grace, your grace alone is all I play for. Grace to serve the right Lord. Oh, grace to love you more. I long for this grace, Lord, to be faithful as the one. To lay my all down for the church, see our glory burst forth. Grace, your grace alone is all I plead for. Grace to serve the right Lord. Oh, grace to love you more. Make me about to ask, get love in thy quiver. Try trim sharpened in thy furnace, meet for my master's use. Grace, thy grace alone is all I plead for. Grace to serve the right Lord. Oh, grace to love you more. When I want to tell God, is this sitting by the bridgehead? We have seen the condition. We have gone through the soul searching. We have gone through his personal interviews for our lives. We have counted the cost. For some of us, it is heavy. Some of us, as God said, we have thought we have opened our heart, but the master said he has not found an open door yet. If you are in that category, you are still assuming that, yes, that's the popular message, you know. You better search your heart. If there are still Uzziahs that are blocking your eyes, you better pray.
as many as are having the urge that the master should break, blow off the bridge, and consecrate us once and for all for his service and for his use. Yet we have no power of our own. We cannot tell him to do it in our power. We are pleading for grace. We take that song 3 times, then we shall pray before we break to go and eat. Our food is ready. Grace, thy grace alone has brought me to thy way, stranger and alien I had been. Thee grace brought me so nigh. Grace, thy grace alone is all I plead for. Grace to serve thee aright, Lord. Oh, grace to love you more. Tis grace that teaches me thy path for me to know. And grace day by day leads me on. My call not to let go. Grace fully offers me what I know. Grace to serve me a right Lord. Oh, grace to love you more. I long for this grace, Lord, to be faithful as the world, to lay my all down for the church, till our glory but for grace. The grace I love is all I plead for. Grace to serve the right Lord. Oh, grace to love you more. Make me about to act, kept long in thy quiver. Try trim, sharpened in thy furnace. Need for my master's use. We now take the chorus 3 times. Grace, your grace alone. Yes, all I plead for. Grace to serve the right Lord. Oh, grace to love you more. Grace, your grace alone. You can continue to pray as you want right now. If you are asking for grace to be able to do this rather than look around for explanations, the Bible says, let us receive grace that we may serve God acceptably. Oh, grace to love you more. Grace, your grace alone. Yes, all I plead for. Grace to love you more. The master is still sitting by the bridgehead. And just as I was about to ask us if the master should break it, the implication is great. The master still says he is willing to give us time till the evening. He's willing to allow people to go and set their house in order, count the cost, and make up your mind either to cross over or to turn away. For some of us, the master could break the bridge now. But for some, the master said, let me wait. For each of you to know the implication of this matter. So we are going to break now. We are going to eat because our food is ready. We are going to use our lunch and rest time to sort things out with God individually, in preparation for the meetings. The master is still sitting there. He doesn't want to rush anybody in. Doesn't want to camouflage us. This is an eternal decision that he is requesting from us. It is irreversible. It is irreversible. We have been brought to the bridgehead, and he said, choose this day whom ye will serve, self or Christ. Any camouflage will be revealed under his searchlight. Any pretense or humility does not stand at this point. He wants us to be careful. That's why we can conclude our prayer now. But we continue to meditate on the grace of God. Continue to meditate that he loves us. Continue to make sure the devil does not come to harden any of your hearts. But if it is possible for the devil to come and harden your heart between now and evening, it means the conviction is not there. So the master wants to wait. Maybe I should repeat the prophecy again. I still give you time to think about this matter. For I shall wait for you at the time of the evening sacrifice. I shall wait for you by the bridge. As many as are willing to cross, let them know that the bridge shall be blown. Then will I give them this word. No, not before them. I still give you time to weigh the consequences of your decision and the price you are willing to pay. As many as are willing shall be perfected, but there shall not be a looking back. God is emphasizing willingness, not perfection. Willingness. He said, they that are willing, he, God, will perfect. So this decision is not for the people that are already perfect. Even with trembling, with fear, you can still bring your life and say, Lord, except for your grace, I don't know how it will be. That from now till you come and take me, I'll no longer live for myself.